Hello, and welcome back to Everything Belongs, a now international award-winning podcast that explores the subtleties of living, creating, and leading, and ultimately thriving while in the deep end of life. I am your host, Madison Morgan, and today I'm going to be talking all about the 15 simple habits I do each week for my health. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, especially if you're neurodivergent or suspect that you could be, I want to encourage you either after you listen to this or before to catch up on that episode. In it, I share an abundance of resources, things that I personally do and then help my clients to set up in their lives that support them to live and thrive with a neurodivergent brain. And if you just consider yourself someone who needs a boost in some organization in your life, you might check it out. So let's dive in today to this well-being boost. Truthfully, in this last year, especially since discovering that for sure I'm neurodivergent, even though I suspected for the last, 6 years, this last summer, I really discovered that I was. And it revealed to me just how complicated and maybe why I've made my life so complicated. So many of us overthinkers and neurospicy folks, we can use our bright intellect to become floating heads, right? We use it against ourselves on accident, and that keeps us disconnected from our bodies and spun out. And the truth is that keeping it simple needs to be the name of the game, especially when it comes to our well-being. I don't know about you, but I spent so much energy in the last decade healing, learning about healing, improving, growing, and like learning all the different systems and all the different ways. And I love that shit. And I forgot how to let life be simple and good because I was so caught up in optimizing, so caught up in the ways like that we can learn about ourselves and grow ourselves. And it's not that we don't have anything to heal from necessarily. It's that we need to learn how to let life be good now and how to keep things simple, especially if we are prone to overcomplication. I've come to realize just how much my ego loves to complicate things. I get a boost from theorizing and learning, and that doesn't always equate to taking aligned, elegant action. And for most of us, but especially those of us with a tendency to use our intellect to overcomplicate, it's the small shit that matters most, right? It's the small shit that matters. It's generally not the $100 supplement or deep diving into your astrology that will create the most vitality. Not that I don't take supplements, right? And not that I'm not into astrology. I certainly am. It's just that there are some really simple, nearly free, mostly free things we can do to establish a baseline of health that are so simple. So I also want to just note that the rhetoric that we need to add a bunch of things and a bunch of supplements can often add barriers of entry, as if keeping it simple doesn't create a foundation for all of those things to be built upon after. We don't need the hacks and tools and superfoods, but we can utilize them if we discover we need them once the baseline is taken care of. Because truthfully, it's the simple shit that mattered. So I recently watched the documentary Stutz with Jonah Hill and his therapist, and I was struck and so inspired that his therapist said he doesn't dive into any relational patterns, any trauma, or any of their clients' wounds before addressing the client's life force, meaning the foundation of all healing starts in having enough vitality and capacity to go into the harder work. The foundations alone, he said, can create so much momentum that other areas of his clients' lives begin naturally reconciling. And in my experience, that's absolutely true. The foundations of well-being allow the goodness to grow. As we bring those wounded places back to health, then more of our life becomes good and healthy and vital. So these healthy foundations, the simple shit, literally gives us more capacity. And with more capacity, we can look at more difficult things with ease. It's not that it's easy to look at, our trauma, but when we have a bunch of vitality and well-being and confidence online because we feel good, it's a lot easier to address the, maladaptive strategies that we have that no longer serve us. Because without the simple shit, life feels shitty, right? So it's the quality of our sleep. It's the nourishment of our body. It's the way we move our body and how much tension they hold. It's the length of time you hug your partner, if you have a partner or a friend, and how much softness you can let your body sink into during it. It's the stories you tell about what other people's behavior means. It's this small, simple shit done repeatedly over time that makes the biggest difference I know in my life. And it is absolutely the hardest stuff to practice because most days I would rather just be up in my head and learning about what would make me feel good rather than actually doing the things that would make me feel good. Because it's the simple shit that we overcomplicate, that we make excuses for, that we say is out of reach, that we overlook. But the most wise people I know, they're living into the simple shit. Their lives maybe even feel a little bit boring because they're letting it be that easy. So today I want to share with you my favorite simple habits I do each week for my health that I believe contribute to a foundation of well-being in my life, helps me stay anchored, grounded, and regulated, especially as a neurodivergent business owner, because being neurodivergent can be difficult enough in a world that isn't really catered to us. And also as a business owner, I think being a business owner is a unique stress because a lot of things rely on you. There's a lot of spinning plates, and keeping our body feeling as well as we can is really important. So the number one thing I recommend and the number one thing I do is get 8 hours of sleep. If I don't get 8 hours of sleep, I'm not the same person. And there are times that I can make sure that I'm taking my supplements and all those things to make the difference if I'm not feeling so great from less. But I want to get 8 hours if I can every single night. I personally track with the Oura Ring. That's, a bougie ring that allows you to track your heart rate variability and your heart rate and making sure you're getting enough REM sleep and deep sleep. I love tracking the data, so that's really good for me. And I feel very fortunate that I have a career that allows me to not set an alarm in the morning. But 8 hours of sleep, if you can get it in, is the foundation. I mean, studies show sleep is the number one thing you can do for your health, probably even more than getting up at 4 a.m. to go work out, right? You'll never find me doing that. You will never find me doing that. The second thing I do for my health is a simple morning practice. I am not saying you have to be doing what I'm doing every single morning, but I do think finding a morning practice that allows you to surrender to the day or to surrender to the divine in some way and connects you to your body in some way. Personally, I have a tea ceremony practice that is somewhat of a meditation, a moving meditation that includes prayer and surrender. There are some days I journal on top of it. There are some days that I don't do it as long as other days, but there's always a simple morning practice that anchors me. Don't overcomplicate this. If you have 5 minutes, let it be 5 minutes. The third thing I do is sacred comings and goings with my partner. We have a commitment to making sure every time we get up and every time we go to bed and every time we enter the room or not a room, but like enter the home and exit the home, say our hello, say our goodbyes, that we make sure those are sacred. So we hug or we'll kiss and make sure our whole body softens into that contact before we move on. It can be so easy if you are partnered to blunder in the home and just be busy with life things. But that connection and making sure your body feels the connection and actually drops into the moment is so important. So we do it when we come and go out of the house, or if, we get up in the morning and go to bed, making sure that we actually acknowledge each other, see each other, connect with each other. The fourth thing is I move my body daily. There are, of course, days I realize that it's the end of the day and I haven't done this, but my intention is to move my body every day and I make sure I lift weights 2 to 3 times a week. For me and my body constitution, it's really important for me to lift weights because I am hypermobile and tend to lose weight quickly and lose muscle fast if I'm not being diligent with weightlifting. It helps me feel so much more stable and grounded. And as a naturally anxious person, it connects me and grounds me in my body so that I'm not fluttering about. Not that I mind fluttering, right? I love to dance. I love cardio exercises by nature, but those tend to put my personal heart rate up for a full 24 hours. And I do not want my heart rate to stay up that high for that long. So for me, doing weights a couple times a week, getting my heart rate up, but then making sure I'm grounded in my body is super important. And on the days I'm not weightlifting, I'm doing a 20-minute Pilates class or going on a walk. It doesn't have to be high intensity. It's just getting into your body and using your body in functional ways. The fifth thing I do might surprise you, and I'm going to be doing it right after I record this podcast, is watch Drag Race, okay? Because it is my weekly Friday ritual to have a really yummy takeout meal with my girlfriend and watch Drag Race. Even my pug, Morris, is named after a quote from Drag Race. If you know Alyssa Edwards, you might know what I'm talking about. But what I love about Drag Race, first of all, is that I think drag is such a beautiful way to express oneself. I love the embodiment of an alter ego that allows people to take up and occupy more of themselves in their lives. Also, I love entertainment. I love dancing. I love to laugh. I love the petty, silly drama on the show. And I love the ritual of every Friday watching the show. It is truly a sacred ritual to me, and it's silly and it's fun. And I encourage you, if you don't have a fun, silly, sacred ritual in your week, to create one. Whether it is a shitty reality TV show, whether it's Drag Race, or whether it's doing something like in your community that is just fun and simple, let yourself relax into it. It can actually really be good for your health. So six, I try to eat to reduce my glucose spikes. I love following the account Glucose Goddess. If any of you have connections with her, I would love to have her on the show. She's on my like wish list for the next season. But basically, glucose spikes contributes to all kinds of comorbidities, including Alzheimer's, which runs in my family. And I notice that whenever I'm eating foods high in sugar, I can actually feel while I'm eating it and thereafter the immediate impact on my body. I'm incredibly sensitive. So whenever I eat to reduce these glucose spikes, which often means just not avoiding sugar altogether, but eating my food in a specific order so that my body can metabolize the glucose a little bit better. It might mean that I take a small shot of apple cider vinegar before eating some pasta. It will mean I'm eating the salad before I'm eating the other things in my meal. And ultimately, the goal is not to eliminate food from my diet, but to reduce the glucose spikes as a result of eating certain things in a certain order. And I have noticed an increase in my anxiety or a decrease in my anxiety since doing this. The seventh thing is I tidy my home every day to reduce visual clutter. Like I really believe in like visual home pollution, like light pollution as well. And if there is stuff out on my table, in my home, like in my kitchen, it makes me feel a little bit not like I want to feel. So I spend a little bit of time in the morning or in the evening. I don't have a super set routine around it. I just do it at some point in my day is I just tidy things up. I put things away. And if I don't have time to fully do it, I organize the mess. Like I'm that person who will organize the dishes in the sink to make them feel a little bit less chaotic. That helps me feel more at peace and get more things done in my day. The eighth thing I do is I get morning light. This has been a lot easier since having Morris, my little pug, in my life. And I pay attention to my evening light consumption. This is something I was willing to spend money on because I like watching an evening show or, you know, being with my partner and watching a movie. And I really wasn't willing to give that up to avoid blue light. I like watching my show or my movie in the evening. So what I do is I have blue light blockers and they are just really silly looking yellow glasses. They actually aren't the ones that look like regular glasses. They're truly a colored lens and they really help my body relax. Like I will wear them and feel the settledness in my body. I've also transitioned the lights in my bedroom and in my living room to be red lights so that my body feels more calm in the evening. I don't do any like bright LED blue lights in my home at all because I just hate that. But in the evening, it's all lamps and it's all warm or red lights. Now, the ninth thing I do is I see friends every week. I think a lot of people who get on like a healing journey, right? They cut everyone out and they cut out everyone who's not doing the same wellness things as them. And then their life becomes very lonely and very boring. And I have been in that stage myself, no judgment. It's just that it was lonely and boring. And I like seeing my people. And if you study the blue zones at all, you know the importance of even just friendly contact. So if you're not weekly seeing friends, maybe try going to the same coffee shop over and over again during the week, or making an intention to meet up with one person a week to have a point of contact. It really boosts your mood. And even if it's not the most life-changing conversation ever, those consistent mundane encounters actually have a really significant improvement on our mental health. They really, really do. So the 10th thing I do is this might sound weird to some of you, but I make sure to tongue scrape every single morning before I consume anything. It's the first thing I do in the morning. I also do it at night just because I feel like it makes me feel more hygienic, and flossing. Like, I recently got a water pick and it feels so nice. My mouth feels so fresh. But the studies on the bacteria in the mouth and heart disease and so many other like illnesses and diseases, even COVID, had to do with flossing and making sure that our mouth was clean. Our digestion begins in our mouth. And so I'm not talking like Listerine. I don't do any of that shit. Tongue scrape and floss. Simple, simple, simple practice. The 11th thing I do is I do an herbal tea infusion. I was really inspired to do this by Luis Mojica. He's been a guest on the podcast, and I took his 6-week program and loved his recommendation of a tea infusion that helps the body release the cortisol and lower, you know, our stress levels in our body. I typically do a blend of nettles, holy basil, and oat straw in my herbal tea infusion, and it is something I drink every single day. If I'm not putting it in my smoothie, I'm drinking it as like an evening drink before bed. Then the next thing I do, the 12th thing, is clean filtered water. If I lived near a spring or spring water was available to be shipped towards me, you know I would be on doing that. But I don't have access to that where I live. And so what I have done for a couple years is I have a Berkey water filter. And since I just bought a house, I actually installed just in the kitchen a water filter. I make sure to remineralize it because a water filter will remove like all of the things. So I remineralize the water either with pink salt or like a mineral drops, but clean filtered water is truly an essential baseline. Okay, the 13th thing I do is an energetic cleanse. I cleanse my aura and find my midline and call my energy back, if not every day, a couple times a week, especially if I've gone in public or had a big call online where I'm like leading to a couple hundred people, especially. Like, I will make sure to come back to my body, find my center, find myself in the center of the four directions, feel into the energy moving up and down my central channel. I will cleanse my aura with Florida water or an herb and smoke cleanse. And I even have a call your energy back meditation that I do myself. It's a hypnosis, and I will listen to my own call your energy back hypnosis because I created it because I knew that I wanted one like this. So if you don't have the call your energy back meditation, it's for free on my website. So you can go to madisonmorgan.com and you'll see it's a boundaries hypnosis, and it's really, really good. It's had thousands and thousands of downloads. Okay, the 14th thing is fiber, fiber, and more fiber. I'm really big on beans and psyllium husk because of their ability to help our digestive tract release adrenaline, release cortisol, and it actually binds to the hormones and helps your body flush them out. So it's not like a cleanse. I'm not really into cleanses, but fiber and plants in general are things we need to be boosting in our diet. And if you're curious about, you know, beans and psyllium husk, give it a good Google search. You will be down the rabbit hole and perhaps loving it as much as I do. Okay, so the last thing, the 15th thing I do each week for my health is get negative ions. Negative ions are believed to boost serotonin, to alleviate depression, and boost our energy. And we can get them for free from nature. So maybe you're going to a dense forest or going by moving water. You could also get it from sitting next to a bonfire or burning a beeswax candle. You can, you know, even get it from taking a shower. I personally have a biomat and I love sitting on my biomat. I feel so grounded after sitting on it. But you don't have to spend the money on something like that. You can just go in the shower or go on a walk in the woods or go sit next to a creek or some flowing water to get your negative ions. And I wanted to offer you some bonus monthly habits because, you know, all these things that I do each week, they're pretty much in my routine. I don't have to think about them. But a couple that I do think about are one, therapy, mentorship, or coaching. Like I am not always in therapy or I don't always have a coach, but I do always have one or the other in my life. So a therapist, a mentor, a coach in your life that can help support you. And I make sure to touch base with that person or these people either once or twice a month. I'm in session. Another thing I make sure to do each month is some kind of body work where someone else's hands are on my body. So whether that's cranial sacral or Thai massage, it's really important to me to allow my body to be touched and help my body really soften and open up. I have loved cranial sacral. I also get chiropractic work, but the fascial work and the body work it has helped me integrate a lot of changes in my life over the last couple of years. And the last thing I do each month is like a nice deep clean of the house. Okay. Like people are always talking about like the witchy things we can do to cleanse energy. And some of the easiest things we can do is open the windows and let the fresh air in your house, like the stale energy, the stale air in all that dust and bacteria, like let it flow out of your house. Clean the floors, mop the floors, wipe things down. And like I view that as an energetic cleanse of my home. And I might smoke cleanse the house. And I do like to anoint oil on the door frames and say a little prayer of protection. But whatever feels good for you, definitely do it. For me, it helps me feel grounded and anchored and safe in my home, as well as the like physical benefits of cleaning the air and cleaning the home. So there you have it. I've never done a podcast episode like this before. I'm like feeling a little bit wellness girly having done it, but this is truly how I live my life. And I believe in it. I stand by it. And there are even more things I do, but these are the baseline things, right? Like clean water, fiber, making sure I'm calling my energy back, doing fun things once a week, like drag race, making sure I'm connecting to my partner when we walk in the door and leave, having a simple morning practice, saying a prayer, flossing my teeth. Like these are really simple things, but they increase our lifespan. They increase our well-being. They increase the way we feel safe in our body. And to me, like that is worth the time it takes. And it doesn't even take that much time. So there you have it. The well-being boost, 15 simple habits I do each week for my health. So my friend, I would love to hear from you. You might not have the capacity to adopt 15 new health habits, but could you start with just one thing that feels easy? You don't have to go for even the hardest thing on this list. Is there one thing you can do today that will help you increase your vitality and life force if you do it every day for the next month? Don't overcomplicate it. Choose one thing. It's the simple shit that makes all the difference. So I'd love to know if you do choose one of these things to choose to do. What one is it? You can either leave a podcast review here on iTunes if you're listening on iTunes and let me know there, or you can hop in my Instagram DMs or comments and let me know what you're going to do to keep it simple to feel more vital in your life. And before we go, I want to let you know again, Sacred Heart Coven is now enrolling. It is an intimate 4-month group coaching cohort. You can expect 12 weeks of shame eradicating, heart expanding, integrity bolstering group coaching that will finally allow you to show up as your true self, say what you mean to say, and do what you're here to do. We begin the very first week of April and seats are very limited. If you want to join us, please go to madisonmorgan.com/sacred-heart-coven. And learn more. So As my grandmother Rose would say, I'll talk at you later.